The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the New York Times and AAA Go magazine. Now, before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, please let me remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles we are going to be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. Today on Armchair Traveler, we focus on the island state of Hawaii. Our journey begins with an article written by Teriro Mizawa, "Hawaii is a Paradise, but Whose?" Her article appeared in the February 4, 2020 issue of the New York Times. As the introductory headline reads, a growing number of Hawaiians say that tourism isn't working for them. Here's how they're trying to change it. Locals in Oahu know that the best way to get from Waikiki's crowded beaches to the cool North Shore is to drive along the island's eastern coast. The road is framed by mountains, ocean, and greenery, so lush and beautiful it's hard to focus the eye on one place for too long for fear of missing the next scenic attraction. On a recent trip along the route, something else stood out: the upside-down Hawaiian flags flying at almost every stop. The flag, which has the Union Jack at the bottom left corner instead of the usual top left, hung in storefronts in Waikiki and was printed on T-shirts in Waimanalo. It was stuck on the bumpers of passing cars in Kailua and flying from the backs of trucks in Kauku and other towns on the North Shore. The flag has become a symbol of solidarity among Hawaiians who oppose the construction of a large new telescope on Mauna Kea on the island of Hawaii. Mauna Kea, at 32,000 feet from sea floor to summit and with 13,796 feet above sea level, is one of the best places in the Northern Hemisphere, if not the world, to observe the cosmos, experts say. The telescope's proponents say it will bring hundreds of jobs to the island and advance humanity's study of space. But it has faced fierce resistance from some native Hawaiians for whom Mauna Kea is sacred ground and a place of roots and their allies. Opponents of the telescope say they are tired of having their land taken for purposes that benefit others and for the often elusive promise of jobs that fail to deliver in terms of numbers or a living wage. The struggle at Mauna Kea right now is one of the biggest issues that has realigned many cultural political relationships in Hawaii, said Kyle Kajihiro, an activist and lecturer at the University of Hawaii at Manoa. It's really quite an amazing emergence of Hawaiian activism of cultural awareness, he said. The battle over the telescope has revealed fissures that have long existed in Hawaii, a place that is all but synonymous with tourism, the most popular destination for honeymoons in the United States, and a bucket list perennial. The fight has inspired actions around the islands, all relating to how land is used and who benefits from it. The spirit of protest is most visible in Oahu, where Kahuku demonstrators have spent the last several months fighting the construction of 8 wind turbines, each standing at 568 feet taller than the tallest skyscraper in Honolulu. Protesters say the turbines will have adverse long-term health care effects on the population. The company building them says there is no evidence to support these claims and promises to bring jobs to the area. More than 160 people have been arrested there. In southeast Oahu, in September, 28 people were arrested trying to block the building of a park and recreation center in Waimanalo, a largely agricultural town. The developers behind the center say it will bring jobs and create a new community space, but opponents fear it will be a magnet for tourists and will destroy the forest and beach used by locals. In Honolulu in May, Hilton employees protested, demanding a better contract and job protections. In July, hotel employees went on strike to protest what they said were low wages and the firing of 45 workers by Diamond Resorts, an operator of multiple properties in the United States and Europe. The company said it would turn one of its hotels into a timeshare resort, which requires fewer workers than a traditional hotel. "We value our dedicated team members at the modern Honolulu and we were pleased to reach a contract agreement that includes a significant pay increase, a spokesman for Diamond said. We are continuing our planned efforts to convert the property into a world-class vacation ownership resort. Most people in Hawaii, especially in the tourism industry, work more than one job to barely get by, said Bryant de Venecia, communications organizer for the workers' union. Unite Here Local 5, it represents the resort workers. Mauna Kea has lit a fire for Hawaiians who are tired of watching their land, resources, and work be used at the expense of their well-being, he said. Hawaii is the most expensive state to live in, according to the 2018 Annual Average Cost of Living Index by the Council for Community and Economic Research. Groceries, for example, cost 60% more than the national average. People are tired of being decorative, Hawaiians as well as people who live in Hawaii, said Miley Meyer, who owns Namia Hawaii, a bookstore in Honolulu that sells products from smaller local makers. You're seeing a phenomenon of natives gathering again and completely finding our way back to each other as part of the solution, she said. Well, jobs aren't enough. A common thread between these protests is that they're being led by locals. They say that since Europeans first arrived in the 18th century, Hawaiian land has been taken and misused by non-Hawaiians and often to the detriment of Hawaiians and their traditions. The endeavors have sparked these recent protests, all promised jobs, just as tourism and defense have in the past. But perhaps for the first time in recent Hawaiian history, natives and locals are saying the quality of these jobs is not good enough. We're having to move away from quantity to quality, said Lorian Baird Hokalai Helfrich Noos, the founder of the Conscious Concepts, a company that works with local organizations on sustainable tourism initiatives. Now that local people are getting more agency, they are learning more, going into more curious space of saying, it's great that this company is providing jobs, but what kind of jobs are they? Are they good jobs? Are they paying a livable wage? Tourism is the biggest driver of Hawaii's economy, accounting for 21% of jobs. Nearly 10 million people visited the state in 2018 and in 2019. Guest arrivals were expected to surpass that number, hitting a record high. And although more people are visiting Hawaii, they are spending less there. Locals say that resorts are often owned and run by non-Hawaiians, with Hawaiian people employed in the lower-paying service jobs, and that development often benefits outsiders at the expense of native and local well-being. There historically hasn't been enough consideration for how tourism and tourists can contribute to making life sustainable and really livable for the locals who serve them here, Mr. DeVincenzia said. More than a playland. The feeling of escape, a fleeing to a nearby paradise with stunning beaches and luxurious resorts, has long been Hawaii's appeal to the traveling public. While the hottest trends in travel now are the search for authenticity and ways to experience local life, many people who visit Hawaii are looking to get away from daily life. They come to sit on the beach and drink a Mai Tai without thinking about much else. Their interaction with local culture is often limited to watching a hula show at the Hotel Luau. We realize a lot of folks who would visit us who would normally have more consciousness about history and social justice concerns seem to turn off that part of their brain when they think about Hawaii, said Mr. Kajihiro, the activist and lecturer, adding that people treat the islands as a playland, as he describes it. But this decision to turn off their brains is hurting Hawaii and Hawaiians, he said. While working for the American Friends Service Committee, the Quaker Peace and Justice Organization, Mr. Kajihiro and his colleague, Tara Lee Keko'alani, studied the environmental and social effects of colonization, militarization, and overdevelopment of Hawaii. They learned that tourism was one of the industries with some of the most damaging effects on Oahu, he said, citing overcrowding, a higher cost of living, and higher prices for goods. The pair began offering alternative tours of the island, which they call detours, in 2004, and have seen increased interest in recent years. Their work has included the recently published Duke University Press book, Detours, A Decolonial Guide to Hawaii, a collection of essays, interviews, and family histories about ethical and contextualized tourism in the islands. The tours are given to groups of people who want to learn about Hawaii from the perspective of local Hawaiians. They include a deep history on the ways military life is hidden across the island. During a typical tour, guests go to Lalani Palace, the Hawaiian royal residence, then to Chinatown, and some of the old neighborhoods where new immigrants to Hawaii traditionally settled. The next stop is usually Fort Shafter, the headquarters of the United States Army Pacific, then Camp Smith. But the main part of the tour is Ke Awalau Opu'ulawa, or Pearl Harbor. During a detour of Pearl Harbor, Mr. Kaisahiro pauses in the Oahu court between the Pearl Harbor galleries and the museum and asks guests to look at the placards in the hallway. At that placard that says the Hawaiian kingdom was overthrown in 1893, he explains that this one sentence has been controversial with the United States government because it acknowledges the government-backed overthrow of Queen Liliuokalani, which unsettles American claims to Hawaii. In the museum's attack gallery, Mr. Kaisahiro points to a small image of the Onaulaula internment camp where Japanese people were held during World War II and uses it as a jumping-off point for a conversation about immigration and civil rights. People already come here with so many images and ideas about what Hawaii is that it's really hard for them to see something different. So that's why we started calling our work detours, Mr. Kaisahiro said, to swerve off the path that most people are going to see or understand and consume and shake it up by raising more critical perspectives and introducing a lot of historical facts that are not so pleasant, he added. A new type of tourism. The detours team is part of a movement looking to change what tourism means in Hawaii. Ms. Nuss of Conscious Concepts is originally from Oahu and returned in 2009 after working in hospitality in the Caribbean, New York, Miami, and other places on the United States mainland. I came home seeing something happening in Hawaii that I didn't see when I left, she said. My generation was stepping into their leadership roles and doing it differently, reconnecting for a movement back to the land. But she quickly realized that what many companies were doing didn't align with her vision for supporting tourism while ensuring the well-being of overworked Hawaiians. In 2015, Ms. News created her company to find ways to support Hawaiian businesses function sustainably while also remaining a key part of the most important sector in Oahu, tourism. Ms. News has worked with farms, artists, and nonprofit organizations to change their offerings so they can appeal to tourists while still benefiting Hawaiians. A farm hoping to attract tourists to volunteer might turn to her to figure out the best ways to reach them. She described her work as consciously creating experiences for travelers and opportunities for locals. I had a realization about how our tourism industry is presently run, which is coming from the commodification of culture, she said. I realized what was happening in my communities and the value systems that were driving it were contradictory to the form of tourism that I was being part of. To give tourists a more authentic experience of the real Hawaii, the artists Roxy and Matt Ortiz invite them into their studio at Kaka'akoa, district of Honolulu. The couple is known for their elaborate murals of fanciful treehouses, which they create under the name Wooden Wave. When people come to see us work, it gives them a totally different way to experience Hawaii, Ms. Ortiz said, and it's a fun way for us to give tourists a different experience than they usually see in those brochures. In these studio visits, guests can see the couple's work in progress, but also learn about the Auapa, the ancient system of land division, in which the island was separated into slices, each slice running from the top of the local mountain to the shore. During one visit, Mr. Ortiz explains that each Auapa included a forest area up high and cultivated area below, and depending on the politics and economy of each Auapa, its size was different from another. Mr. Ortiz said that even the slightest opportunity for tourists to think about how water and land have always worked together and why they hold importance to Hawaiians, can encourage them to be more thoughtful when interacting with locals and the land and sea while visiting. When people have some of the history and context, they can appreciate the art more and they can experience the island in a more meaningful way, he said. Another way tourists can learn about what the land and engage with the locals is by visiting a local farm with Kahumana Farm in Wailamane on the east side, or rather west side of Oahu. In November, Chloe Anderson, a therapist and teacher in California, visited the farm and stayed for 4 of her 6 days in Oahu. There, she shared a room with others, did yoga, learned about the produce grown and cooked on the farm, and generally felt like she got a lot more meaningful experience than she would have at a luxury resort removed from the daily Hawaiian life. We had like 3 or 4 different activities we would do every day, she said, but so many things were passed off the farm and at the farm, or based off the farm, rather, and at the farm. We still had the experience of being a tourist in Hawaii and going on hikes and beach excursions, but also of experiencing something more. Some business owners are committed to staying in the tourism sector and are trying to be as environmentally friendly as possible. I don't think it's reasonable to expect that people just won't work in the main industry there is, and I don't think Hawaiians want to stop tourism altogether, but we are all working to find ways of doing it responsibly and thoughtfully, said Shane Hiroshi Gibler, who co-owns Royal Hawaiian Catamaran, which is based in Honolulu, and offers snorkel tours, sunset cruises, and private charters. On Mr. Gibler's boat, guests are asked not to bring any plastic, and recycling is available on board. Mr. Gibler educates guests about fishing, food, and the importance of the ocean and the land to Hawaiians. The Royal Catamaran team regularly gathers people to clean up the shoreline and has been working with the Surf Rider Foundation to remove ghost nets, fishing nets that have been lost or left behind by fishing boats from reefs or the ocean. The idea, one echoed by Mr. Kajihiro, is to encourage tourists to think about how they can leave their resort even for one day of their trip and contribute to the place they are visiting. The point is to make folks more responsible when they come here and to interrogate this notion that Hawaii is somehow a place for them, Mr. Kajihiro said. If you're thinking about this coming here, ask yourself, who are you in relation to this place? Are you bringing something that will be of value to the host, the people who live here? What will your impact and your legacy be? And I must say, in my visit to Hawaii in 2017, I have found no one to surpass the industry hospitality that they presented at all the things I did. And I did some of the experiential travel stops where you spend the day doing things on farms, seeing how they work. And I did some of these kind of resort-related, too, just to get a comparison. But much of what this article is talking about is very true, and it was even evident back then. So I share that with you as an aside. Well, you know, not too long ago, we began featuring a new series being published by the New York Times travel team. It's entitled, It's How to Pretend You're In, and then they specifically spotlight a locale. And each featured by one of the Times veteran travel writers. Well, today we're going to feature one of those, Stephanie Rosenblum. And she's going to show us how to pretend you're in Hawaii tonight. Now, as her introduction states, with a few easy-to-find items, you can discover the archipelago's breathtaking diversity, savor its flavors and music, even delight in an island-inspired Thanksgiving. Now, Ms. Rosenblum's article appeared just before Thanksgiving. In fact, it was the November 24, 2020 issue of the New York Times. So let's see what she did to pretend that she's in Hawaii tonight. While your travel plans may be on hold, you can pretend you're somewhere new for the night. Around the World at Home invites you to channel the spirit of a new place each week with recommendations on how to explore the culture, all from the comfort of your home. Beyond the palm trees and Mai Tais is the Hawaii many tourists never come to know. Islands with enduring traditions of myth and storytelling, home to endangered species, taro fields, and beaches where surfing doesn't require a board, and the smoky scent of Kalua pig wafts through the night. Before I continue, I want to add that when you speak of Hawaiian beaches, you think of those pristine white sand looks. I will say the more spectacular are the lava beaches, the black beaches. They are quite something to see, too, so I would add that. Anyway, when next I see the archipelago, known as the Hawaiian Kingdom, before it was overthrown in 1893, I'll relish local treats like plate lunch and shave ice, a favorite of former President Barack Obama, who was born there soon after Hawaii became the 50th state in 1959. I'll wind my way back through the mountains and beaches from Kauai to the island of Hawaii, return to the singular Shangri-La Museum of Islamic Art, Culture, and Design, a former home of Doris Duke, find gods and legends in the Hawaiian Hall at the Bishop Museum, and hike Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. And I can't stress enough about the Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. Quite an impressive hike and very interesting. Yet, with a few easy-to-find items, you can discover Hawaii's breathtaking biodiversity wherever you are, savor the flavors and music of the archipelago, make fragrant flower lei, and virtually gather friends and family for an island-inspired Thanksgiving around your own table. Grab some liquid smoke and roast kalua pig. The best way to conjure Hawaii is to whip out the liquid smoke to kalua some pig. Set Spotify to search Ledward Ka'apana's Slack Key Guitar. Call on your friends to talk story and keep your hands busy, said Melanie Ide, the president of the and chief executive of the Bishop Museum, the Natural and Cultural History Museum in Honolulu. But first, the pig. There's really nothing easier or better to go alongside your turkey for a long Thanksgiving eating weekend, said Miss Ide. Her ingredients? Pork butt or shoulder with skin and fat, rock salt, ideally Alua salt, and liquid smoke, which she said was available in grocery stores. Pierce the meat with a fork, drizzle with liquid smoke, rub with salt, wrap in foil, and roast, she said. Use banana leaves instead of foil if possible, or put the skin of a green banana in the roasting pan and cook at 300 degrees for several hours. Shred when done. If you can't get liquid smoke, a New York Times cooking recipe uses smoked paprika. Well, kalua pig can be enjoyed any time of day. For breakfast, Miss Ide recommends kalua pig benedict garnished with scallions. For lunch, a pulled pork burrito. And dinner, well, eat it straight up with extra sprinkle of Hawaiian salt, raw onion, and poi, or fresh hot rice, she said. And I will say Hawaiian food is definitely outstanding, so I would highly recommend you might want to try this. It's quite good. Well, let's strum a ukulele next. The ukulele is of a Portuguese origin, though it's been popular in Hawaii for well over a century. Play along with the He Mele Aloha, a Hawaiian songbook, and Hawaiian Hapa Hole songs created for the ukulele with chords and translations, or leave the music making to the ukulele virtuoso Eddie Kame and artists such as Gabby Penhunai, a pioneer of modern slack key guitar named for Hawaiian retunings of the Spanish guitar, and Mr. Kapana. Fans of the band Queen may want to check out Jake Shimabukuro's ukulele version of Bohemian Rhapsody. I can only imagine. I haven't heard it yet, but that sounds interesting. Island Hop, page by page. Hawaii emerges as a damaged paradise, a place of violent, magical beauty, wrote the critic Michiko Kutani about Susanna Moore's early novels, My Old Sweetheart, The Whiteness of Bones, for a history of the archipelago where Miss Moore grew up, considered paradise of the Pacific. Speaking of childhoods in Hawaii, Mr. Obama's Dreams from My Father, a story of race and inheritance, takes readers to the islands of his youth and beyond. An essay in The Times, Want to Be Less Racist, Move to Hawaii, and a follow-up piece, Is Hawaii's Racial Harmony a Myth? Explore the islands and racial identity. A Promised Land, another memoir by Mr. Obama, was published in November. The islands have inspired generations of writers, Mark Twain among them, though one of the best ways to learn and think Hawaiian is to read a proverb of day from Olelo no Au, Hawaiian Proverbs and Poetical Sayings, said Miss Ide. The book is also on Honolulu's magazine's thoughtful list, 50 Essential Hawaiian Books You Should Read in Your Lifetime. Become an armchair volcanologist. Peer safely into the calderas of volcanoes with webcams, curriculum materials, and science podcasts on the Hawaii Volcanoes National Park website. Along the way, meet locals like the Hawaiian hawksbill turtle and the wild nene goose, and listen to the dawn chorus. And at one place we were staying in Hawaii, the nenes were just everywhere, and we just sat out there in the middle of the grass and watched them play, go by us and scamper. They are an amazing thing to watch, and they are fun. How about making a flower lei? Few things can lift your spirits while stuck at home better than fresh flowers and creating something by hand. In Hawaii, flower lei are often given at celebration and, as the Hawaiian Tourism Authority puts it, are considered symbols of status when used in traditional ceremonies. And, of course, they're also used to welcome people to Hawaii and say farewell when they go. To learn how to make your own, check out the Hawaiian Lei Making, a step-by-step guide by Lori Shimazu Ide, no relation to Miss Ide at the Bishop Museum, or try Maui no Ka Oi magazine's online instructions. On YouTube, Kuana Torres Kahele, a musician and hula practitioner, will teach you how to make the haku-style lei. surf something other than the web. The Olympic swimmer and water polo player Duke Kahanamoku, born in Honolulu in 1890, was instrumental in bringing the art of surfing to the mainland United States, despite missionaries' attempts to tamp it out. Today, surfing is a culture unto itself. Discover its roots and allure with Hawaiian surfing traditions from the past, which reclaims the story of surfing, as Lawrence Downs wrote in an opinion piece for the Times, before outsiders took it to California and far beyond. Dive into the art and films of John Severson, founder of the surfing Bible, Surfer Magazine, and trade that seasonal video of a crackling fireplace for a mesmerizing surfing live cam. Be an artist in your own residence is the next suggestion. The works at the Honolulu Museum of Art showcase the major cultures of Hawaii from ancient times to the present, though you need not be present to enjoy them. An online hashtag Museum from Home initiative includes works from the collection and exhibitions such as Arts of Hawaii and Pan-Asian Buddhism, sound bites, and creative prompts like Your Kitchen is Your Studio, Find Three Objects, and Make a Sculpture. Stream a family getaway. Transport yourself to the shores of Hawaii with feel-good films. For families with young children, Walt Disney Pictures' Lilo and Stitch, a Times Critic pick, in which a creature from another planet lands in Hawaii, is an ode to family, or ohana, and a fun introduction to the islands, especially when paired with the National Geographic's docuseries Wild Hawaii, both on Disney+. Follow a descendant of the Hawaiian royalty as he comes to grips with his land and grief in The Descendants, an Academy Award winner, and another Time Critics pick. Or go back in time to 1918 with the acclaimed Picture Bride, about a teenager from Japan who travels to Hawaii for an arranged marriage, directed by Honolulu-born Kaio Hata and co-written with her sister Mara Hati. Well, be zen. The sounds of a palm forest envelop you in this meditative video from the Merwin Conservancy with Safeguards, the Maui home and 19-acre palm forest of W.S. Merwin, the former United States Poet Laureate and two-time Pulitzer Prize winner. You'll soon forget you're at home. All written by Stephanie Rosenblum. By the way, she's the author of Alone Time, Four Seasons, Four Cities, and The Pleasures of Solitude, published by Viking. And she has been doing travel, business, and styles features for the New York Times for over 20 years. And that was quite an interesting thing there, enjoying Hawaii from home. Real quickly, in our remaining time, we're going to check out the winter edition of AAA Go Magazine and its winter road trip planner. And in Charlotte, on February the 5th, we have this Beauty and the Beast in concert. This is a great way to enjoy the awesome show at Belk Theater in Uptown Charlotte. Experience the beloved animated classic Beauty and the Beast on the big screen as the Charlotte Symphony brings the movie's music to life. And there is a fee. CharlotteSymphony.org is where you can find more information. That's CharlotteSymphony.org. And in January 25th at Merrill's Inlet, South Carolina, Alligators of the Lowcountry. Learn about alligators of the Lowcountry from the Brookwing Garden Zookeeper. Visitors will learn interesting facts, myths, truths, and about the popular species. And there is a fee involved. Again, brookwing.org is where to get more information. And with that, we've run out of time for today's episode of Armchair Traveler. Hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll join us next time. I'm Mike Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, direct them to 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.